up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Podcast.
They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5. Horoscopes. Aries.
Aries, you're going to have a difficult time balancing your need for independence with your strong desire to stick with what you know. You're being pushed to become more self-aware, but it isn't a bad thing.
Taurus.
Despite feeling overwhelmed or frustrated by things out of your control, you might just find fun and creative ways to release the tension today.
Gemini.
Logic is being applied to situations because you have read between the lines. No one can pull a fast one on you, Gemini. You normally have good instincts, and this extra energy will help you focus on them.
Cancer.
Expect to see the joy of being in the background of your life. Today will show you that you do not always have to be in charge. That's going to be real tough.
Leo.
In order to move forward with something, you may look back to find some answers. That'll help you determine the best course of action, Leo.
Virgo.
You've been thinking about the drama you once had with someone close to you. This is a good time to talk and to listen to each other.
Libra.
You have a lot to deal with in your chaotic life, but a fresh feeling will hit home today, and you'll be excited to interact with those closest to you.
Scorpio.
There is a possibility that you will receive a financial windfall. That is good news. It may not be a lottery win or anything like that, but it's something you've worked very hard for and is finally working out.
Sagittarius.
You're feeling so much like yourself today, and it seems that nothing can stand in your way. Good job.
Capricorn.
You are well suited to sniff out overlooked assets and make all of your money worries a thing of the past. Just don't take it for granted.
Aquarius.
This could be a difficult day for you. There's something in the air, and you'll have to keep focused on your work to avoid the unnecessary drama.
Pisces.
Your relationship with your partner feels strong, so hold on tight. This person is very important to you.
All right, you got it. All your horoscopes. If you need to get them again, go to chum1045.com and click on the Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar tab.
Now, back to the morning show.
Good morning.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
The only way to wake up.
On Chum 104.5.
You got a Wednesday to deal with this morning, and it's not so bad because Wednesday, as we discovered yesterday, is actually something to celebrate.
No, it's not. No. It's not my favorite day.
Well, we felt like that Wednesday, you know, is at least half of the week. It's the hump, you know, so we're here. What don't you like about Wednesday?
Well, maybe you guys can turn me around on that.
Well, what do you feel? How are you feeling?
Caitlin's the same way.
This is my crappiest day of the week.
How do I feel about it? It's Wednesday. I got two more days to go.
That's how I feel about Tuesday.
I know. I might have to change over to Tuesday. Wednesday is middle of the week. Wednesday, remember we were talking about what day would you take off during
yes.
the week? It'd be Wednesday and or Monday.
Yeah, Monday for me.
So why don't we like Wednesday? We're complaining about it, but why don't we like it?
Tuesday, I still have some of the weekend sprinkles left on me.
Yeah, but they're gone now, Caitlin. They're off your shoulder.
They're gone. So I'm tired and I'm like, at least I have the exact same amount of time I've already been working left to work before
right.
I can actually sleep again. So I don't know. I do. You know what I actually figured out? Because we were talking about how do you build a treat into the least favorite
yes.
thing of the week? I realize now that I saved some of my favorite TV shows, which actually air on Monday nights for Wednesday.
Ah, okay.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah. That's not bad. You leave a little breadcrumb trail to the promised land.
Yes.
It's like when my mother...
Your week. I feel you.
When you used to get... I used to get allergy shots, and my mom said, if you get an allergy shot, I'll get you a chocolate milkshake.
Yes.
And so that's the treat. I think Wednesday is the problem for me because I'm pooped.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Tired.
Uh-huh.
Tired. But you know what? I feel energized. Because I just walked outside and it's very cold.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what did you do?
Nothing like a smack in the face there to energize
again,
you, right?
Okay. Again, another smack in the face. How did you manage through your dreary Tuesday?
You know what? All right, there's two types of people in the world. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Maybe we've talked about this off the air, Caitlin, you and I. But I'll ask you. You're the type of person that either watches a movie once and just is done with it, or you watch it over and over and over again.
Okay.
I am a repeat offender of movies.
Okay.
I watch them over and over again. Yesterday, I had the Batman on in my house, and I just kind of had it on the background. I'll kind of peek around the corner, look at the TV again, and I just watch it over and over again. I like that.
Yeah, I like that scene. I'm going to watch that again.
I do that.
But I do that, too, a lot.
I dissect the scenes. I try to see if I spot anything interesting in the background. Look at that in the background.
No,
look
I do
at that newspaper.
Too. I'll do that with, any of the series that I'm watching right now. I'll say, it's on. Yeah, I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because maybe I missed it the first time around.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Chum 104.5.
Get up.
Yo.
What?
3 hours late. What's the deal?
I was at your father's funeral.
Well, maybe that excuse would have flown when my dad was here, but I'm in charge now.
That excuse wouldn't make any sense if your dad was still here.
In my office now.
Horrible bosses. But it's actually happening in real life. Out of curiosity, if you're listening to the show right now and you're dreading getting to work and seeing your horrible boss in their face or maybe on Zoom, just text us, me, to 104536 with a little informal poll and see how many people are in this position. Because according to the stats I'm reading right now, 33% of people in North America, 33%, are actually considering quitting their job because of their horrible boss. 25% of those people have actually resigned in the past 6 months. 25% of people, pardon, total in North America have resigned in the past 6 months.
Especially because they're going back to into the office and they have to face their horrible boss.
They're like, nope, can't do it.
Can't
I'm done.
Do it anymore.
The most often cited reason for quitting is toxic company culture. Number one reason. And that's where we are. Here's some of the other things that are people are saying about their boss who's toxic. That they're not empathetic, not kind. The person is a bit dishonest. They steal, cheat to promote their own interests. Lacks actual self-knowledge and self-control. Confuses inflexibility with strength. That is a very interesting one. A lot of people think when you're rigid, and when you're just really, I'm not giving you those days off. No, the work has to be done this way. They think that strength, rigidity is not necessarily
power.
Strength. Yeah,
yeah.
Or power.
Yeah,
that's not, they confuse those two. It actually can weaken you. I'm not talking to anyone in particular. I'm just saying, you know, if you were not flexible, it might make you look like you're insecure.
Sometimes it's just not logical.
Or sometimes you're a routine person, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it can go both ways, but that's the only thing you know. And so you haven't really gone into other ways to manage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that you were managed.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that with you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's look at our poll results. Oh, there go the me's.
Mm-hmm.
There go the me's. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people dreading going to work right now. Yes, see you. I see you.
But isn't
what's up, Hamilton? I see you, Newmarket. Barry, I'm so sorry. Okay.
If we have to blame somebody, though, don't we blame our bosses on stuff?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
If we have to blame somebody.
Okay. Do we blame the boss?
The boss gets blamed all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to be...
Bosses do take a lot of fire, too.
Yeah, they do. And I personally, especially during these days, what we have to put on the air or what you have to, you know, what you have to do, whatever work that you have, and then you have to balance who's going to be at work, who's not going to be at work. Who would want to be in management right now? No, thank you. However, there are some horrible bosses out there. Yeah. Getting back to the boss thing.
Texter says, my boss is great.
Yeah.
But my foreman, I need to go Will Smith on him. Whoa.
What?
All right.
Oh, wow.
Record that for us later. Put it on YouTube.
Are we going to talk about the type of bosses that...
We could talk about the type of bosses. Yeah. You've got the incompetent boss.
Yeah.
The rigid boss. The intemperate boss. The callous boss. The corrupt boss. The insular boss. And the evil boss.
So Dr. the incompetent evil. Boss is unable, willing to do their job well.
Yeah.
The rigid boss confuses inflexibility with strength, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a couple of those, huh?
Yeah.
The intemperate boss lacks self-knowledge and self-control. The callous boss lacks empathy and kindness. The corrupt boss, promotes their own interest. And the insular boss, what is that word?
Really clickish. Really clickish.
Unreachable.
The insular boss has like a little bubble around them. And if you can't penetrate the bubble, you don't get this boss's attention.
Yeah. Right.
You don't get their criticisms or their praise.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you haven't gotten into that inner circle, so you're a nobody.
I've experienced that in my early days of broadcasting in Calgary.
Yeah, I've experienced that boss.
Wow. And you're so innocent and so vulnerable when you're young.
Well, I wasn't so innocent, but
I was.
I know what you're
so innocent with the job that you
I know what you mean. You're not in a position
right.
to, hey, what's up? Like, you just
That's
feel like
right. help no voice.
I also feel like the thing that happens too is you like once you have a couple of people who are in bad, you know, bad managers, bad management.
Yeah.
It becomes this whole culture. And that's the number one reason why people said that they leave. Because once you have like that click, if you get a bad click that falls into management, yeah. that trickles down. It like completely torpedoes morale. I've been at office places where I was like, oh, everyone is yeah. just losing it.
Losing it, yeah.
When you wake up. Wake up, Toronto.
Wake up, baby.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
I wake up early every morning.
Wake up. Chum.
Yep, they said 33% of people work or believe they work for a horrible boss, yeah. leaving an ultimate cavity in the workplace because a lot of people are going to be leaving, quitting, going to find other places to sink their teeth into. On the notion of teeth, you like that pivot? It's awesome. Let's talk about cavities for a second.
Okay, wait a minute. That was a great pivot.
Thank you.
All right.
You know cavities in your teeth that you always try to avoid and your dentist says brush, 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 rinse, floss, rinse, rinse, floss, floss, floss. There's another thing that you need to do to avoid cavities in your teeth according to what we're reading here. You need to probably lay off on sharing food with your relative, kids, maybe even certain people you kiss. Cavities, according to the study, can be contagious. Contagious, meaning you can catch cavities or, air quotes, the bacteria that causes cavities.
The bacteria.
From other people.
Oh.
Apparently, this bacteria, mutant streptococcus, feeds on the sugars in the mouth and creates the acid that eventually eats away at the tooth enamel. You can catch that bacteria from other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sharing food with them, maybe sharing a straw, utensils. I would say a kiss, and that's something you want to be a little careful about if you don't want to get cavities.
Right.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
You always think it's just brushing
yeah.
because you're just trying to avoid tooth decay.
Yeah.
But what is causing the tooth decay?
Right. So, I can kiss your kids. So cute.
That's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a dental hygienist, and yeah. she told me about this, and it blew my mind years ago because she said so many, you know, obviously people, when they have children, especially moms, they will almost, like, bite their food into small pieces for them. They share food. They just end up sharing saliva. And as a result, you know, babies, young children aren't naturally born with that bacteria present in their mouth. So, technically, you kind to catch cavities from most likely your parents.
Oh, see, when I make things for my granddaughter, if she doesn't finish it, mm-hmm. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
But it's her catching it from me.
Yes, exactly.
Not me giving it to her.
Have
okay.
you ever seen...
I don't bite stuff for her and then give it to her.
I've seen my friends do that.
Oh.
And I never thought much of it. I was like, oh, it's just, you know, busy on the go,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
a fork and knife and you've got to get the food into smaller pieces so they don't choke. We're all just doing our best.
Yes.
It's like, is that... That's how you catch
yeah,
it? Because like you, Jamar, I did not think that... I thought I just had it and you were always fighting it.
Right. You just think that you're just trying to, clean, you have to brush your teeth so
right.
that, you know, whatever's wearing down your enamel or whatever, you
yeah.
get it out of your mouth. But apparently, this is something you can actually pass to somebody.
How about this? When we were kids, pre-pandemic, hey, can I have some of that stuff from your lunch? Or, oh yeah, here's a bite of it or whatever.
Yeah.
You take a bite of someone's sandwich and then they would give it, get it back from them. That's why I had so many cavities because my lunches were awful compared
yeah.
to everybody else's. But, you know, kids share food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's why I had so many cavities.
So a dental hygienist in Bracebridge
yeah.
is confirming this, said, I'm a dental hygienist. It drives me crazy when adults kiss babies on the mouth. You're giving them periodontal disease bacteria.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Among other things.
Among other things.
Yeah, mouths are dirty, man.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Mouths have everything
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, I you know, when Everly tries to, goes towards my mouth, I put my cheek because mm-hmm. I just know that's not the right thing to do because of the germ.
Yes.
Although I want to kiss her all over. But that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys.
Something to think about today.
Okay, but my husband's an expert flosser.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about him.
Okay.
He really is good at it. I have to up my game. Are you guys good at flossing?
I like it.
I have the water flosser, but the actual string part.
I like this. I put floss in like every corner of my life.
Is it your car?
It's in my backpack, in my car,
good
in my office.
You do have good teeth. Yeah. You do have good teeth.
Thank you.
The 6:30 games on Chum.
Once upon a time in 90.
Oh. We were on.
Game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're playing that 90s game right now on Chum 104.5. Let's introduce our contestants. Playing with Marilyn this morning is Ashley.
Hello, Ashley.
Morning, Marilyn. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you?
I'm at work.
What do you do?
I'm a PSW at a nurse at a hospital.
Okay, very good. Nice to have you with us today. And Joanne is on your team.
What's up, Joanne? How are you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just doing usual morning lunch and breakfast fest.
Gotcha.
Making lots of breakfast and lunches for everybody.
What do they get for lunch today? What's the...
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't send to school, and my kids are young, so picky. So, like, you know, there's cheese sandwiches, and there's grapes, and there's yogurts. And
oh, wow. You know,
what do you put on your cheese sandwich? Do you put mayonnaise on your cheese sandwich?
Just like grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
I'm in.
Yeah,
the standard peanut butter and jelly, probably not a thing anymore, right?
That's not allowed. Yeah, I know.
Hurt somebody. Okay. Let's play that 90s game, a time when PB&J was a thing.
Yeah.
All right. This is how you play. You're going head-to-head, and this is the TV character version of that 90s game. We have some sounds, and they're supposed to, you know, clue you into a TV character from the 90s. All we need you to do is name the character, not the actor that voiced the character or played the character. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You could use the first name. You could use the last name. You could use the first and last name. We just need the character name.
Okay.
Whoever gets the most wins, we'll go to a tiebreaker. If we need to, Team Maryland starts us off.
And we get that $200 vanilla Visa prepaid card up for grabs. Okay, so Ashley, here's your first one.
Go!
Homer Simpson?
Yes! From The Simpsons and voiced by Dan Castellaneta.
Okay.
Which I would have never known, but wait, he's making a lot of money. He must have about 5 houses now.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
He's a legend. Great. Let's go, Joanne. Here is your character.
Hey. How you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Joey Triviani.
There you go. You were a Friends watcher, clearly. Matt LeBlanc. Joey. Yes. Okay. Great.
So far, we're tied, Jamar. Here we go, Ashley.
I met this lawyer. We went out to dinner. I had the lobster bisque. We went back to my place, yada, yada, yada. I never heard from him again.
Oh, my God. It's the girl from Seinfeld. Oh, my God. What is her name?
And three.
Oh, my God.
Two. One.
Louise? Oh,
Elaine Benes.
Elaine, that's it. Oh,
you
my
know
God.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yes. But, yeah, I know. It's that girl. It's that fabulous girl. Yeah. All right. Too bad.
Okay. We are still at ones. Joanne, you could pull ahead and win right here. Here is your character.
I'm listening.
We're listening.
My favorite 90s sitcom. That's Frasier Crane.
Yes.
Winner.
Joanne, you know that. Kelsey Raymond, what a great show that was. I loved every character.
So good.
I've never seen an episode of Frasier. Not a single episode.
If it's radio-based, you'll love it.
I watched Cheers.
Yeah.
Or kind of like before bedtime. Like Cheers came out. My mom's gonna tell me to go to bed. But never watched any Frasier.
I think you'd like it. Okay, so...
I have memories of watching Frasier with my mom, that's why.
No. Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
She just laughed so hard when she was, yeah.
All these things are available on Crave, everybody. Watch Crave. You can see them again.
Yes.
If you've never seen them, they're new to you, right?
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Let me know.
Well, there is a lot trending in Toronto this morning. First up, an FYI to commuters who pass through Union Station. Nearly 100 technicians who facilitate train traffic through Union have walked off the jobs. This is going to impact all VIA and GO routes into and out of the downtown core. It's also going to impact the UP Express, which runs between Union, Dundas West, Weston, and Pearson. So basically, it's the usual disagreement that's happening, you know, things like higher pay grade, better benefits, all that stuff. So as this bargaining continues, other staff are temporarily going to be stepping in to cover for these union members, but there's going to be delays and cancellations no matter what. So if you are heading on the train this morning, just make sure you check your routes to see if they're impacted. Before
it affects so many people.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Like, no one from Pickering is going to be downtown today. Or no one from that way is going to be here.
It's not like we have a great subway system to rely on. Right, so you're like, right, once this goes, anyways. So
you see a lot of people walking on the 401 today.
Oh, no. Well, also, and I will say, as somebody who uses rideshare a lot, make sure you call early because there are less and less Uber drivers and Lyft drivers on the roads these days. So if you are resorting to that to get into work or to get around downtown today for some reason, just make sure you give yourself lots of lead time there as well. Yeah. It only took about 10 plus years of every single resident in Ontario and BC screaming about unaffordable housing for it to start making its way to political platforms. So the Ontario government is introducing new real estate regulations that they say will allow home sellers to share bids on their property and disclose the details of competing offers. So if you bought a house here, property, condo, whatever, you know that it's a blind bidding process.
Right.
You have no idea what anyone else is bidding. You're just shooting your shot and hope that it lands. So now they're saying sellers will no longer be limited to selling their property through a closed or traditional offer system. With these changes, hardworking Ontarians can rest assured knowing that, no one's going to do this. This is the point. They're allowing you to opt into it. What seller is going to be like, yes, my largest tax-free asset, I'm just going to start telling everyone what the bidding process looks like behind the scenes. If you allow it to be an option, why would anyone opt into this? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So this is getting a huge collective eye roll from everybody in Ontario because they're like, this is just not going to work. Unless you have a system where everyone is playing by the same set of rules and you're leaving it open to the seller, like, why would they make themselves more vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does underscore the fact that this is finally making its way onto political platforms on a provincial and a federal level. Everybody knows we've got to do something about the fact that in these two provinces, it's just impossible to buy property if you are just, if you're already in it, if you're already in the game and you already own property, you've made that money and you have that leverage and that asset. But for first-time home buyers, it's become really, really difficult. So I think they're hoping that this would cool it off. But I just think the average person and real estate expert is saying this is probably not enough. And the average price of a home in the GTA is expected to surpass $1.3 million
by
the end of 2022.
Average.
Average. Yeah.
Impossible.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's
you
a lot.
You should see what you get for that.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm looking.
I mean, you know, when we're, And when you're driving around and you're going, oh, that's house for sale. You look at me, what?
I know. What? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's wild. It's wild. And last but not least, to make everybody feel a little bit better, I will say, guess what's come to Toronto? Waffle fries at McDonald's. Everyone was like, you know what's taking the edge off of this random snowstorm that hit us? The fact that waffle fries are available in Toronto as of yesterday. Everyone knows what a waffle fry is.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you don't associate that with McDonald's necessarily. That's like more of a Chick-fil-A thing to me.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I guess maybe they figured
which is the only thing that's good about Chick-fil-A.
Oh, you're not a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they figure that this is now going to be competing with that because people love those fries so much. And McDonald's has great dipping sauces. So everyone's like, look, we're just going to get the McNugget dipping sauces, dip the waffle fries in it, and you've got an upgraded side.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
Just ask for them when you go. Apparently it's delicious. This is what Toronto Twitter is telling us today.
Okay.
Wake up, Toronto. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Wake up.
On Chum.
You're walking through a store, maybe a grocery store, and you pick up a pack of steak.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
And then you're walking through another aisle, say cereal, and you realize, oh, I have steak already.
That's such a bad example.
It's the worst example, actually. That's why I used it.
Worst.
Because now you have the... the predicament.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I walk back to the meats and put my steak back in the meat freezer, or do I just leave it here on the Apple Jacks?
I was thinking more Apple Jacks and Bounty, you know?
I hear you.
You know what I mean? You got to put the meat back at least some... Okay. The steak. And you put it back in the chicken section. I would give you that.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that happen.
At least find a grocer's freezer or something.
Have a freezer.
You put that pack of sausage, I don't know, maybe over there on top of those potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you put them back where they belong, where you got them from?
Isn't it funny how you find random stuff when you're looking for your particular thing, like air freshener in the middle of soup?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, wait, why did you change from aisle three to five on the air freshener front?
Well, because there's that person who doesn't, go back to the exact area where they got them and
right.
put
it back. But why did you change your mind in two aisles, you know? And maybe it's budget, for sure. Or do we really need that, you know? Like, I sometimes overbuy ketchup. I just always feel I need it. I don't need it anymore. So, like, during the pandemic, we bought three bottles of ketchup. We're just getting through the third one right now. So I get that part, you know? But I personally, when I feel like something is not needed, I pick it up and put it in the cart, and I go, and then about four or five aisles later, I go, you know what, you really don't need this. Or Jim will say, we already have that. I'll take it and I'll put it back, or he'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm the putter backer. You, yeah. Jamar?
I mean, I'm just looking at the text. I guess I'm the minority here. Like, I've put a thing in a random place. I've put a bottle of Tide, you know, on a stack of onions. Once or twice. It's funny. Like, I'm looking at our text. No one puts things back in random places. Oh, my gosh. If no one does it, who does it? Goody goodies. I see you. There's got to be one person that puts things in a random spot somewhere.
Well, I think sometimes when you have a screaming child.
Yeah.
And you are desperate. You're going to, we're not saying, we're saying maybe you're not a nice person. I don't know. You don't do that.
Everyone's a bad person every once a week.
Okay, now I will tell you this. Putting back a can of soup, you put it back, it bothers me, for me, that I don't put it in the chicken noodle section, okay? I'll at least put it in the chicken. Is the label out all the time? Maybe not.
Well, sometimes you honestly keep lose track of where you got something.
Yes.
And then you're trying to find it. You're like, all right, I'll just leave it right here.
A friend of mine says, sometimes my husband puts stuff in the cart and I go, where did this come from? I said no. Whatever it is. And then she'll put it back.
I didn't realize this at all, and I would never have thought of it. What's Thank that? You, texter from Oshawa, for figuring out that there actually is a reason why you might see some of that stuff there. It says people also do this to see how often an area gets cleaned or, quote, faced.
Oh.
If no attention is placed to that area, then that's where they steal from.
Okay.
So they're casing out the joint.
It's a false flag type of thing.
Okay, let's talk about this again, because I got to visualize this.
Mm-hmm.
So give me an example.
So you're walking through a section that sells, say, something that's kind of expensive. Maybe it's like diapers or whatever.
Okay.
And someone has placed random items there, and then they recirculate through the store. And if they come back and those items haven't been moved because there's no employee paying attention to that spot, that might be where they decide to steal from, because they think that it's vulnerable. There's nobody with eyes on that particular section.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
You covert people.
Interesting. I'm one of those people. My innate desire for order in life means that I put things back.
Do you put the chicken noodles label on the front?
At home, I do. It's a problem, I know, but I will say I just like things a certain way.
I mean,
I'm not going to hate on somebody who just throws a shelf-stable item wherever. I mean, that's why people restock shelves. I get it. There's an employee for that. And like you said, you've got busy people. Maybe they have kids screaming, whatever. But the chaotic evil of leaving a dairy product in an unrefrigerated section.
That is evil.
That's why you are
messed up by giving the meat idea. Meat's so expensive. No, that was not what we were saying. Blood, everything.
Decaying meat sitting on top of.
I'll put it back. You know what will happen?
Fabric softener.
I'll put it back. If I see milk sitting somewhere, I'll grumble and be like, oh, who would do this? And I'll walk.
Okay. Have you, Caitlin, because we now know your personality, really. Have you put things away?
Like myself?
For somebody else.
For somebody else. If it's not shelf stable, I will. I'll put it back because it bothers me.
If it's not shelf stable.
It needs to be refrigerated.
All right.
I'm walking around Loblaws. I don't need this DiGiorno frozen pizza anymore. I'll just leave it on the Brillo pads. Somebody gets a melted pizza.
We know who in this room. There is a clear line.
It is.
But I like that fact that our Oshawa friend called to let us know what's happening.
Thank you, Retail Insider.
Yeah, so what's everybody else been saying?
A lot of people are saying they. I put things in random places sometimes. Yeah, it's you, Jamar. You've been traveling to all the stores and putting stuff in random areas. Everyone's blaming you. Yeah, people are also saying, like me, they did. They put stuff back. And there's a lot of people who are saying, I'll at least bring it to the cashier and say I'm actually not going to purchase this and let the cashier deal with it. But then sometimes you see the stuff sitting with the cashier for like a long time.
Yeah.
And you're wondering.
That happens a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're busy.
A bottle of wine can go by the diapers. The kids will love it.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Okay.
People have left.
Beer by the diapers. There you go.
People have left steaks in the magazine rack at the checkout.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. Chum 104.5.
When you are walking around in a store and you have something that you originally intended on purchasing, but now you're like, I reconsider, what do you do with it? Do you put it back exactly where you got it? Or you just kind of plop it wherever you are at the time? Two totally types of different people in the world. Mm-hmm. And we're discovering where we fall in that whole thing. And it's not just the grocery store, right? Apparently.
Yeah.
We got Margaret on the line, who is a hardware store person. Is that correct, Margaret?
I used to be.
Used to be?
Yeah.
Hardware stores are interesting because you got all these little things that have like really detailed places, like nails and screws.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that's a mess there, right?
And you got the really, really big things, too, that people have their eye on.
Okay. So, like, a power saw ends up in the soil.
Exactly.
Yeah, how does it work with people trying to steal stuff in a store? You say this is part of their process?
Well, Caitlin's comment about putting things in areas where people don't travel is very common. And then people are very creative.
So they leave them there. They see if they're monitoring that aisle and that section, right, Margaret? And if
That's
nobody
right.
is, then they'll take it.
That's right. And then they just get creative in how it leaves the store.
How? Give me an example. We need more, Margaret. Dateline.
This time of the year, people are buying a lot of outdoor planters.
Yeah. How do you hide a planter in your pants?
Well, no, you put it into your cart, and then you put the item that you think, I shouldn't be saying this because we're given ideas. And then...
You put the thingy in the planter.
Right.
The thingy in the planter.
Wow.
Keep going. Sorry.
So, yeah, people are very creative, and it's actually very sad. Or, you know, a lot of these places have outdoor garden centers with areas, and sometimes things are placed close to the fence.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got it. Okay, so just a question for you. Are you, when you used to work in that industry, are you surprised at the people that would take things?
Absolutely.
Like the description of the
Absolutely.
People?
Absolutely. And there's no predefined look.
Right on. I hear you.
It's usually the people least suspected that are stealing the most.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people with a lot of money.
And they don't. Nobody looks the same. Nobody dresses the same. And you know, sometimes it's women with babies and carriages, and sometimes it's older people or well dressed people or not so well dressed people. There's no prescribed way that.
I got to tell you, when I had a stroller back in the day, I accidentally almost walked out of the store with something in there. Mm-hmm. And I learned my lesson never to do that. But I can see how people could do that.
Yep.
Margaret, thank you for your insight.
Yeah, no problem.
That's all right. We appreciate that. So that's how you people do it.
Yep.
That's under the pansies. The Robinson screwdriver.
I would never have thought like a misplaced bottle of Tide was indicative of anything other than laziness. And now we know.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know what? Even more reason, Jamar, to put things back
where they belong.
Let's help the people.
Okay.
Because if things get stolen, that means prices go up, and that means we end up paying for that.
Just what we need. More price increases.
Now it's time for...
That's a good idea.
What a good idea.
I got a bad idea.
It's a really bad idea.
Good idea, bad idea. That's all you have to answer. And we'll give you the ideas. You can just weigh in on how you feel about them. We're going to start with that walk down the aisle approaching the altar. Weddings.
Bad
weddings.
Idea.
Oh, no.
We're not done yet. Okay, sorry.
No, we're not done. Weddings usually take place on a weekend. I would say late afternoon, right? Right? How would you feel about getting invited to a wedding that was taking place, say, around 9 a.m.? Yeah, the wedding's at 9. What? 9 what? 9 a.m. Morning weddings. It's becoming a thing.
I don't mind. That's like going to church, seeing a little bit of a fancier, you know, kind of a show rather than just the guy talking. Mm-hmm. And then going for a lovely brunch.
Yeah.
By noon and having cocktails, and then you get the rest of your day off.
That's the key. The morning wedding only works if you don't expect everyone to be committed until the nighttime. See what I'm saying?
You instead of making an all-day affair.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because I've been to weddings where the ceremony happens early in the day, like before noon.
Yeah, and like then, 10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and then and it's a long one. And then there's a period of hours where you have to wait before the reception starts. And then there's the cocktail hour.
And then
there's the sit-down dinner. All of a sudden, it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, this is the longest day of my life.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to do an early start, it's got to be an early end. And then it works.
I feel like having a morning wedding actually, like you said, fast tracks the day a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes people, I mean, if you're committed to coming, you're like, okay, well, they're having a wedding at 11. I don't want to miss this, so I got to be there. You can't just walk in the middle, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea with the caveat. Listen, you can go anytime you want. Mm-hmm. When you get this wedding invitation, some people go ceremony and reception, chicken or beef.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just say can only make it to the ceremony. So you kind of have control of that.
Yeah.
But if you as a bride and groom think it's going to be an all-day affair, you can count a lot of us out. Or you want to count people like baby boomers out.
Uh-huh.
You guys can party for the rest of the day.
Totally.
Party amongst yourselves. So I think a morning wedding is a good idea.
Good idea?
Yeah, so long as it ends in due time, fine with me.
Can you imagine omelets for the meal at a wedding?
I'm not mad at it.
All that good mimosa? Lighting for your pictures?
Mimosa? Great lighting.
It's great.
Yeah. Everyone's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
To your point, we were talking about this bit off air, and Marilyn, you were saying that because everyone has this backlog of weddings because of the pandemic.
That's the only time they've got.
Right. And my husband and I were staying at a really beautiful local hotel in September, and there were so many weddings happening. And we were like, oh, are you guys really busy on weekends with weddings? And they said, we are busy throughout the week, all the time, multiple per day.
Yikes.
That's definitely part of the reason why this would be
interesting. Interesting, too, because they were saying, too, Wednesday was the last of the opportunities, and now instead of afternoon and evening, they're doing morning. So a good idea.
All right. Well,
I say yes to that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Weddings becoming morning affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them need to be morning with a U, but I digress. Let's keep it moving. Good idea, bad idea. Getting a tattoo at the age of 105 years old.
What's it look like? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's a lot of ink.
Well, that's a lot of ink, but I mean the skin.
Uh-huh.
I agree.
Texture.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you do what you want to do. If you've always wanted to have one of those, it's the same thing with people that go skydiving. It's a good idea if you feel like it.
Well, there's a woman in Brazil.
Yeah.
She's becoming the oldest woman on earth to get a tattoo. She actually got into the Guinness Book of World Records for being the oldest inked person at 105-year-old. She got two new tats. She now has four tattoos total. She actually would like a couple more. And she's hoping to, you know, keep the art going on her body. Good idea, bad idea. Tattoo at 105.
I think it's always a good idea when you want to do something new and fresh and wonderful.
I hear you.
I just don't know what it would look like.
You know what? That might be
It could be a snake, but it would then it like a saggy snake.
Yeah, it's like
I'm going through it right.
It's
now.
A Picasso, right? You know, at that point.
Yeah, I'm gonna say bad idea.
It's an oil painting.
Good idea for Betty. I'm glad she's happy with her choices. Not for me. I'm saying bad idea.
Listen, I think if you make it past a certain age, you should do anything you want.
Absolutely.
Do everything. Jump out of planes.
Absolutely.
Drive cars
fast.
What
you're gonna do?
Get ink.
I'm just not doing it.
No, not doing it? Okay, great.
No.
So split the season.
Okay, let's just say if grandma did it, you say, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, cool. Not for me.
So it's a good idea.
Not for me.
But you're not the person they're after.
That's true.
So let's think about it again. Question is, your grandma gets a tattoo. She's 150,000 years old. How are you feeling about it? Good idea?
You do you know.
There you go. There it's you a good go. Idea.
It's a tattoo on her neck that says Thug Life.
That's even better.
A mod ting.
Yeah. No one is going to mug a grandma with Thug Life on her neck. So maybe it's personal safety.
A little teardrop on her eye.
It's going to be something like.
A prison tattoo.
No, it could be like, it'd be like something like, gosh, help me with this. I love church.
Yeah. Live, laugh, love. And it's the just laughter. Melted a bit.
It's a ball of yarn. Grandma got balls, all right?
Chum 104.5. The morning. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Toronto's morning show.
I want to tell you something.
Sure, go ahead.
I love these milestone things.
Okay.
Does it make me feel old or go, really, that much time has passed? Guys, my big fat Greek wedding celebrates its 20th anniversary.
All my life, I had a lump at the back of my neck right here. Always a lump. Then I start the menopause and the lump got bigger from the hormones. It started to grow. So I go to the doctor and he did the biopsy. And inside the lump, he found teeth and a spinal column. Yes, inside the lump was my twin.
Oh, God.
Spinal copita. You hungry?
And there you have it. The wonderful Andrea Martin. Oh my gosh. God. I just.
20 years.
20 years. So.
Good Lord.
My big fat Greek wedding celebrating, right? And so we got Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. Why are they involved? Well, they made the movie.
Smart. I never knew that.
Yeah, they bought the rights. He went to go see Nia Vardalos at her stand-up show, you know, and talking about her life and being a daughter of a Greek family. And then they made it into this. She made it into a book, I think, and then she made it into a movie. And that's why Tom and Rita are behind it. Now, the person that was going to play Nia's main character, they wanted originally, I don't know who they is, but maybe the production people. Mm. Marissa Tomei.
Oh, wow. That would have been very different.
It would have been different. And then, but you know, she wrote the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she wrote the script. So she said, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So she did it. And she did such a great job. Yeah. She was adorable in it. What was she most nervous about? Kissing John Corbett.
100%.
Because, you know, that's just kissing John Corbett. Anyway.
I can't imagine kissing somebody for work. Like, I always see that.
I know. That's
makeout scenes and stuff.
Yeah, that's
always interesting to me.
I'd be so awkward.
How people do that. And I mean, imagine the conversation you have to have with your partner.
Partner, yeah, that's right. And then Joey Fatone was in that movie. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had to get a dialect coach to help get rid of his New York accent before the filming of the movie.
Yeah.
The movie, and by the way, the movie is written on her life, Nia's life. And the thing with the Windex, her dad really did do that.
Put a little Windex to cure everything?
To kill everything. The germs.
Oh, my God.
Now, where was it shot, Caitlin Green?
Here in Toronto, predominantly.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though it's supposed to be set in Chicago, they shot most of it here in the city. So they had, like, when she's doing her flashbacks to when she was a schoolgirl, they shot that at Enoch Turner Schoolhouse. They shot the exterior of high school where, you know, Ian teaches. That's Jarvis Collegiate. Uh-huh. The church that it would, you know, you would assume is a Greek Orthodox church. Not really.
Yeah.
It's Holy Trinity Russian Orthodox Church near U of T. So, and then, of course, all along the Danforth.
Right.
Tons
you
of businesses.
You see things, yes.
You do.
Is which, from what I understand, the largest Greek town outside of Greece.
I think it.
That's what I'm told.
It's got to be up there.
So. Yeah, it's got to be up there.
The one here in Toronto, Chicago has one, but it's not nearly as big as our Greek town here.
And my friend Virginia, her mother used to live along where they used the front part of the house, mm-hmm. where Nia's family lived.
Yeah.
And she said, I just remember her saying this to me. They're shooting this film called My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I can't get to my mom's house because it's all tied up with the traffic. So we have a love here in Toronto for 100%. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I can't believe it's the 20th anniversary. So there you go. And thank you, Andrea Martin, for making us laugh again and again and again.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
And I wake up. The Chum Morning Show.
Joining us on Chum 104.5, getting ready for Just for Laughs Comedy Night in Canada tour, Rick Mercer.
Hey, Rick Mercer.
Hello, how are you?
It's been too long. What have you been up to during this lockdown, Rick?
Well, I was lucky. I wrote a book, so I had something to do. Because,
I see that.
As you know, most people in show business, they couldn't work from home. They were out of work from home.
Yeah.
And I was for the longest time, but then I've always been threatening to write a book, and finally my editor called me and he said, well, no excuses now, you're not allowed to leave your house.
Right.
So I managed to write a book, and then that worked out, and then I started preparing for this tour, which was also weird, preparing to do stand-up in your living room, but it's all worked out.
Well, right. I got to think, like, writing a book actually may prepare you for some good stand-up material. No, you're just sitting there writing, and things might come to you, no?
Yeah, well, it's different for me. When I'm preparing stand-up, I work with two other stand-up comedians, Greg Ecker and Rick Curry, and so we'd get on the Zoom, and we would just talk and talk and talk, and then at the end of the day, we'd have a few jokes, and we built it like that. But I can't tell you, being out on the road now, I didn't expect that it would feel this good. I knew it would feel good. I knew it was something I missed, but it was unbelievable. And everyone on this tour is experiencing the exact same thing. To be able to walk out on stage in a big theater with soft seats and a full house, and people are there to laugh, and everyone's got their A game on. It's just, it feels like I'm 18 years old again and doing my first shows in the basement of the LSPU Hall in St. John's, Newfoundland. Like, wow. It feels that good.
Oh, my gosh. Because you never thought you'd ever get that feeling again. And it's, I got to tell you, as far as the audience is concerned, we are excited about that, too. Getting to go out, getting to laugh, getting to see a variety pack of wonderful comedians. So now let's talk about being in lockdown and talk about those two characters who live next door to you. Tell us about that story.
What characters? What, the kids next
the
door?
The kids!
Well, they showed up in a few things that I've done. I hosted a virtual journalism award show, and I ended up doing it in my driveway using my recycling bin as a podium.
Good for you!
That's great.
The way Justin Trudeau used to do press conferences in front of his house, and I had the kids next door dress up as like Lisa LaFlamme and various reporters in black gear, and I had them play all the parts. And, I mean, these are strange times. They call, you know, these you do odd things during these times. But I was lucky that I had kids next door to me because it saved me. Because, of course, you couldn't go anywhere, so
yes, exactly.
Vicariously through them.
Didn't they say that they lived next door to a clown?
Oh yeah, that's the little guy. He told his teacher that he lived next door to a professional clown.
That'd be you.
Wow,
I love it. I love it.
That's one way to word it.
I love it. I love it. So 18 cities, going across Canada. This is so exciting for everybody. Now, when are you going to be in Toronto?
We're in Toronto on April 29th at Meridian Hall, which is the former Sony Center.
Right.
And I just can't wait to get on that stage. I mean, that's just going to be wild. There's a lot of seats in there. It's just incredible. It is kind of like swimming out in the ocean back in the old days when you could go away and get in the ocean. But it's like swimming out in the ocean and you know what it's like when the waves of laughter are rolling through a big theater. Yeah. It's just so exciting, and there's nothing like it, especially after 2 years of Zoom calls,
yes,
virtual events, and everything else.
Right. Real people that laughing at your jokes real time, right? Not on this big screen.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, it's so good to talk to you about all this. I mean, and congratulations on the book, too. That's tough to do, I can tell you that.
Well, I enjoyed every moment. And so please, if anyone's listening, go to hahaha.com. I believe it's spelled the way it sounds, hahaha.com. Mm-hmm. And check out tickets. We're all over.
We've got a Canadian treasure on the line, and it's Rick Mercer. It's so good to hear your voice, Rick. All the best, and we'll see you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green? Let me know, let me know.
Well, speaking of Mr. Mendez, he's kind of trending because he posted a lengthy note on his Twitter account just last night. And he's talking what sounds like a little bit of, you know, it's like his internal monologue and kind of the stuff that he's going through. And he said he really wanted to find a way to be more honest with his fans. But he said, sometimes I ask myself what it is that I should be doing with my life. And what I always hear in return is to tell the truth and to be the truth. But he said he feels like that's a really hard thing to do. And he's afraid that if people know and see the truth, they might think less of him. They might become bored of him. So in these moments of feeling low, I either put on a show or I hide. And he just said, you know, the truth is, in my current form, I'm a 23-year-old who constantly feels like I'm either flying or drowning. And maybe that's just what it means to be in your 20s. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But he said, I really want to show up and be completely 100% honest in the world all the time. It's a long note. I'm going to retweet it from Chum's Twitter account if you want to read it. And he ends by saying, I am also very okay. I'm doing well. I just wanted to share this with my fans. And he said, and I feel like if I'm feeling this way with all the blessings I have in my life, I imagine there must be so many people feeling this too. And I don't want them to feel alone. He's kind of saying it's like a big internet hug to his fans and to the people that he's...
Well, Sean.
Yeah.
You're not the only one lying on your taxes. We all are. So don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, I mean,
if that's the lie he believes is telling.
It's one of these things that I think the younger generation is getting better and better at, is like talking about how you're feeling, talking about what you're going through. And back in the day, you know, a layer of publicists would have told him, don't open up to your fans about this. Don't talk about these types of things. Keep all this stuff private. And I just feel like Sean might have more to say. So it's interesting.
Of course, this car is a business expense.
Yes. Hey, by the way, he's making a special appearance at next month's Juno Awards.
Yes, he is.
He's getting the International Achievement Award.
Yeah.
For his global impact on music.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming home.
So there you go. Yeah. So he's got some traction around that little announcement.
A monster.
Another very recently tweeted item that is starting to gain traction and trend. Will and Jada Smith, is there problems in their marriage following, of course, Will's actions at the Oscars? So it is believed, allegedly, that tension has grown between the two of them, and that ever since this big scandal, this has just been, you know, almost unmentionable, undealable with at home, that they're barely talking. They have had problems for years, but right now they're barely speaking at all. The problem is, if they were to split, Will has a fortune of $350 million that Jada would be entitled to half of under California law. So, you know, all these divorce experts are saying this could be one of the most complicated divorces in showbiz history. It would drag on and on, kind of like Brad and Angelina's, and there would be a lot of moving parts. So what could this look like in the coming weeks if these rumors turn out to be true and the two of them aren't getting along? You can see how that would spark tension at home, to be fair.
Well, for sure. That weekend must have been miserable.
Absolutely.
But they have kids that are grown, so that might be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens we'll see what happens in the Smith household.
The kids are saying maybe you guys should get divorced.
Yeah, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she has her new season of Red Table Talk that's coming back. So I don't know if it's going to come up there at all, because they do like to air things out on that show. Yeah. So we'll just see what happens. Now, masks. Everyone's kind of wondering what the heck's going on with masks. So ride-sharing services no longer have to mandate masks. So I think that there was an announcement that came through from Uber saying, you know, people are still, they're encouraged to wear masks. Riders and drivers are encouraged to wear masks, but it is no longer going to be mandated. Now, Ottawa has said that Canada will maintain that mask requirement for travelers after the U.S. had dropped the rule for masking on flights within the U.S. But this has become this big hot topic, because I think people realize once this mask mandate was dropped, like, some flights were in the air when it happened.
Oh.
So they make the announcement on the air, like, we don't need masks anymore. And then everyone rips their mask off, and some people celebrate, but then other people are not celebrating. What if they're traveling with children under 5? They have health issues. So it's just become this weird touch point. Now, something that is interesting is that masks are still required at JFK and LaGuardia airports. So certain airports means that travelers are going to be required to wear them while they're boarding, but not once they get on the plane. It's same in Philadelphia. And, you know, while it seems counterintuitive to a lot of people, experts are saying that they believe the risk of contracting COVID is actually higher in enclosed spaces around the airport than on the planes themselves, which are equipped with high-quality filtration systems that circulate fresh air when the engines are running. So there are all these debates happening about what is or isn't safe, but it just leaves this no man's land for passengers to say, okay, well, we're going to have to decide how we want to proceed. I've seen a lot of health experts talking about this since this was released in the U.S., and they said, you know, if you're worried and you want to keep a mask on, you slap on that tight-fitting N95, you put another mask over top of it, and you're pretty well covered. And also, I mean, I've been on flights since, and like when the food and beverage service comes around, people take their masks off anyways.
Well, you have to.
So you have to, exactly, unless you cut a hole, and then what are you really doing with the mask anyhow?
That's right.
So I don't know. It's this weird dance everyone's doing. I just...
You know what, everybody, just read the rules and regulations. Yes, it's kind of discombobulated, but getting off the airport, like a JFK, if you had your mask off, good, put it back on, go get your luggage, and then go kiss your mother.
Exactly.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.